Well, we want to spend a few minutes today with 30-something celebrity chef and blogger Eddie Huang, and very little of this time will be spent on food. We want to talk to Eddie about his outsider experience. There is a stereotype of the model minority Asian American. Growing up, Eddie knew he didn't fit it. His dad had been something of a tough gangster in Taiwan. They were poor in Maryland before his father became a rich restaurateur in Orlando, Florida. Eddie's parents fought. Once, he says, his mom went all Connie Corleone and flipped a dinner table. Then when he was 9, another kid called him a chink. That led to a lunchroom fight, the first of many.
From that day forward, I promised that I would be the trouble in my life. I wouldn't wait for people to pick on me or back me into a corner. Whether it was race, height, weight, or my personality that people didn't like, it was now their f***ing problem. If anyone said anything to me, I'd go back at them harder. And if that didn't work too bad for them, I'd catch them outside after school.
There were a lot of fights, rough ones, eventually a felony conviction. But Eddie Huang also went to college, to law school, and eventually opened his own restaurant, Bao House, in New York. He's now published an expletive-laced memoir, the story of an Asian kid finding solace and a tough protective shield in black outsider culture, in hip-hop and basketball. It's called Fresh Off the Boat, and Eddie Huang joins us in the studio. Welcome.
What's up? How's it going?
Well, see,
thanks,
you know,
for having me.
The what's up. There you are. I'm sitting here thinking, he's going to leap out of the chair and punch me? He's going to, I don't know what you're going to do.
No. I never hit anyone unprovoked.
Well, there's that. So tell us more about what you felt from the world as a Taiwanese young man in a town where there weren't a lot of them.
On my block, it was me, there was Barry Larkin, right, and his son Shane Larkin, who's now playing at Miami, was 3 doors down from me. My Persian friend Romain was up the street, and then my other buddy Eric, who was Dominican, was about 2 streets over. And we were the only people of color in the entire subdivision. All right, in Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill, that was it.
And this is after, as you got older. I mean, you know, this is when, wasn't when
yeah,
you were
I was
young.
14
as
years
your dad
old.
Got more successful, right?
Yeah, when I was 14, my dad became a millionaire. Growing up, we really never had money. So it was pretty shocking for me. My dad was successful. We moved to this neighborhood. But even in that neighborhood and even with money, money can only change you so much. I had already identified really as kind of a deviant, as kind of an outcast, as a person of color. And being in that neighborhood when the only black person was Barry Larkin, you know, we kind of all got lumped together.
What were some of the things that made you feel, I'm different?
There's racism everywhere. When I was 9 years old in Florida, this kid, Edgar, pulled me by my shirt, threw me to the ground in the lunch line and said, "Chinks, get to the back." Mm. And it wasn't that I realized. People made me realize what I was.
Well, get some more examples. As a younger child, I mean, your parents were Buddhist and you went to a Christian school because it was the better school. And the teacher there said to you, if you wanted to participate in class and go to heaven, you had to let Jesus in your heart.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of forced upon me. You know, I wanted to write the book because I wanted to write it for other kids like me who felt like there wasn't a voice talking about the things you go through, even in urban sprawl America. There are a lot of insidious things that happen to kids of all races and all walks of life in these neighborhoods in America. And I also, one of the big things we wanted to do is I wrote it in this voice. I wrote it with this vernacular and with this slang, because that's how we talk.
It's almost like Our Gang, but, you know, on steroids, you know, the old TV show. It's like you and your friends would talk tough and act tough and have this street lingo and play basketball. Horrific fights. You were
I was
ready
rebellious.
To go off. Yeah.
You know what it is I was hit at home a lot. My parents had a bit of trouble, and I felt like sometimes they took it out on me. And I remember even going to, like, psychologists and be like, you can blame them. It's okay. I'm like, I don't want to blame my parents.
Well, let's talk about you know? That because I, as I was reading, I was wondering, a lot of it was external, the racism that you faced every day as a little kid. But some of this was, it seemed, internal to the family. I mean, your dad, very tough on you. I mean, there's a lot of name calling. Your mom made you slap your face as you drove out of the car because she didn't like something that you did, so she made you constantly slap your face. Another time, the kids were hit with a brush and social services had to come.
Yeah, that was very, very strange to deal with social services.
Was that an immigrant experience they were having and reacting to? What do you think?
Yes, that's a very, very good intuition on your part. My mom came over when she was 17, and she was even the salutatorian of her high school without speaking English much. And she always told me, I always wanted to have kids early so I could grow up with them, because my grandmother, she had bound feet, And then right after my mom was born, or right before, my grandmother had an aneurysm. So my mother really didn't get that full experience with her mother. So she always wanted to have kids when she was young. She had me in college. She was about 20, 21 years old. And even though I'm technically second generation, my mom was only here 4 years when I was born. Mm. So it's almost like we came over together. But, you know, we discovered America together, and we really, really struggled. I remember my dad bartended and somebody ordered a martini, and he didn't know whether to put an olive or a cherry in it. Mm. I mean, somebody ordered a martini at a Chinese restaurant. That's their fault. You know, so they order the martini. My dad can't figure it out. He puts a cherry in it. He goes to the table, and they all laugh at him, like, ha-ha, this Chinaman bring martinis with a cherry in it. And he got so mad. He didn't know what to say. He just came back with a bunch of olives and threw them on the table.
Yeah. So he's angry, too.
He's angry, too. We were all... This generation of immigrants in America, it was not easy to be born in the 80s in America and to grow up in that circumstance in the suburbs. It just goes to show you, you can have clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and food in your mouths. And the foundational levels of Maslow's pyramids of needs are taken care of. But emotionally, intellectually, mentally, there's so much more to being an American than food in your mouth. And I really feel like we were robbed of the American experience at times.
Then at other times, you had, it's a universal experience. A lot of Americans actually will identify with a dad who is kind of shut down. And one day on a canoe trip, you found out why. He just really kind of broke down with you. You'd gotten into drugs. I mean, you were really, you know, tough kid.
I was a bad kid. Yeah. You know, I was not a model minority in any sense.
And he said to you, I've been scared to death because of what happened to Len Bias. Len Bias, the Boston Celtics basketball star who died of...
Celtic for a day.
Yeah, died of an overdose.
Yeah.
Your dad, you know, broke down and admitted to you, please don't do this. And it had an impact on you.
Len Bias had a huge impact on me because my parents, you know, I was conceived at University of Maryland College Park. My dad, Len Bias was the first superstar he saw when he came to America. He loved Len Bias, and he felt so disappointed by him, and he was like, don't ever disappoint me like Len did.
Well, it had an impact on you, but not enough to stop you from, you know, wild time at college. And again, in part because you saw things that maybe others might not see. For instance, you saw the fraternity system as just the same feudal system that had trapped your grandparents in Taiwan.
Yeah, the fraternity system to me is very, very strange. We make friends in high school on an individual basis. You think somebody's cool, you talk to them, you become friends. College, it was like, hey, we're cool, but like now that we're friends, do you want to pledge this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to wear my dirty underwear for a week during pledge week? We can't hang out with those dudes because they pledged another clubhouse. And I was just like, guys, we have the rest of our lives to fight over stupid stuff like this and work in corporate settings. Like we really should not be doing this at this moment.
Yeah, we're in America, not in feudal Taiwan. Eddie Huang, his book is Fresh Off the Boat. We're going to hear more with him in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with Eddie Huang of New York's hugely successful Bauhaus, which serves his take on Taiwanese street food, largely sandwiches. His memoir, Fresh Off the Boat, tells of growing up a Taiwanese American who never fits in his gated Florida community. He faces violence at home. He took that to school where he faced racism. So when a kid jumps his brother, he retaliates by beating the kid, throwing him headfirst into the wall, like he's an action figure or something. In college, Eddie found inspiration in both Jonathan Swift and Tupac Shakur, but he also took and sold drugs, rescued a buddy from a fight by driving a car into a crowd of students. That led to a felony arrest. Eddie, you finished law school, but college, what happened?
I didn't fit in college. A lot of my friends didn't go to college. I have friends that still work in pet shops, work in pizza shops, and I mean, I work at a sandwich store. You know, as well as I'm doing with the book and everything, like at the end of the day, I was a failed attorney that decided to sell Taiwanese sandwiches.
Well, so you could put it that way.
Yeah, I like to tell people that, though, and look at it. There's a million ways to look at it. People could call me a celebrity chef. People could call me a writer. People could call me an entrepreneur or whatever. And I am. I am all those things. But when we have kids that come work at the restaurant, there's a 19-year-old kid, Randy, and I made him the kitchen manager about 2 weeks ago. He's an ex-hustler, used to do his thing. He came to me and said, Eddie, I'm a hustler too, and I read about you, and I cook food in a restaurant, you know, down the street, but I want to work for you because I feel like you're going to give me a chance.
Are you seeing some of yourself in this kid who, you know, has some bad habits?
Yeah, because he's a good kid. He just needs someone to believe in him. And he needs somebody to tell him, like, you know, I will give you the opportunity and I won't judge you, but you better come with it. And he has.
And where are you now? We should say, for those who don't know of your career, you dabbled in stand-up comedy. You went to the Food Network's Ultimate Recipe Showdown. People started responding to your cooking. You took the path to super cooking superstardom. What happened? Did you finally say at one point, I feel like I've arrived, I've been accepted, I can leave that anger of my childhood behind? You're nodding yes.
That's a great question. You know what it was? It was the day that Chris Jackson at Random House, Spiegel and Grout, bought this memoir. The day that they bought it, I remember going to sleep, and I woke up the next day and I said, I don't owe anybody anything. I was like, I'm going to write this book. Somebody's giving me the opportunity. And all I've ever wanted in life, in America, as a Taiwanese Chinese America, is an opportunity to tell my story. You know, Bauhaus was amazing. Bauhaus jumped it all off.
The restaurant.
Yeah, and that success really made me happy. But I knew I was more than just a sandwich artist.
What would you say to other Asian kids who, I mean, there is that, you know, model minority pressure. The joke is, by the way, you were somewhere in there part of that model minority. You're really smart, and you know ultimately, you know, when you weren't getting beaten up and getting blood all over your papers, you know, that you were submitting, you did prove that.
You're asking amazing questions. I love this. You know, I went through the Asian Olympics. You know, I did the violin, I did piano. There's a certificate in my house somewhere. When I was 12, I was like National Guild Honorable Mention for piano. The world is so funny. It is when you don't hang out with people in the Asian community or in the Black community or in the Latino community, you see them as flat characters. America presents us as flat characters. Like, you're a gangster and you're a nerd and you're a model minority. But the thing is, as much as I was a deviant, as much as I've gone almost out of my way to get in trouble at a lot of times, I think that now when we look back, probably people in the nation are like, that kid is a model minority. At the end of the day, he went about it his own way, ended up at the same spot.
So what would you tell young people who might be feeling constricted by the expectation of them, or maybe feeling that the anger of the racism that they still perceive, or maybe feeling like, but wait a minute, Eddie Huang, I am not going to be able to have the restaurant and quote from Jonathan Swift the way you do.
It's two sides. I would tell young people, don't ever allow somebody to define you. You define yourself. And it might not even be productive to define yourself because you're always growing and you're always changing.
But wait a minute. I just want to make sure we're clear. Should they not fight back the way you did?
No. I think that if there's something... Man, I don't think I have many regrets. I know I probably wrote a couple in the book or something, but off the top of my head, you know, the journey is what makes you who you are. And I would tell young people, just don't do things because you think you're supposed to do things. Do things because you want to do them and you really are inspired and passionate about doing them. I always tell people there's Asians in mountains, there's Asians in lakes, there's Asians in Uggs and rollerblades. You could do anything you want to do, but I would tell older people, I really, truly believe, and from working at the restaurant, we will be better off as a country if people gave young people the opportunity and experience to breathe and make some mistakes.
Eddie Huang, a blogger, restaurateur, now author of the memoir Growing Up Taiwanese American. It's called Fresh Off the Boat. You've revealed a lot of family stuff here. What do your parents think about it?
My dad loved the book, and my dad's initial reaction was, he told me, I'm sorry. And I said, what are you sorry about? I mean, are you sorry you hit me? Because that'd be cool. And he said, no, I'm not sorry about that. You deserved it. And he said, no, I'm sorry I brought our family to this country. And that really, really surprised me. And I said, Dad, don't be sorry, because we won. We belong here. We are here. I'm happy here. And I'm American. You can't take that away from me. You can't take that away from yourself, you know? But my mom won't read the book. And she gets bits and pieces of it. She's scared to read the book because she cares about image. She cares about face. And my aunts and uncles have read it. My cousins read it. And I remember today she calls me.
Your mom.
Yeah, my mom calls me today. She says, why'd you say that Dad hit me in the book? Is it because he did? She said, but people don't need to know that. I said, Mom, you're going to have to swallow your pride on this one, because this book, it's not for me, Mom. It's not for you. And it's not for Dad. This is for all the other people who are going through this in their lives as well. People who have trouble being Asian in America, people who have trouble being different in America, people who live domestic violence. And I said, this enables them to speak about it in a public forum, this book. And I said, you have to allow this to happen. And she said, okay. And she gets it. She goes, but I'm not going to read the book.
Eddie, thanks so much for coming in to talk.
No, thanks for having me.
So, have you been nodding as you listen? Do you have your own experience with the Asian American minority stereotype? Let us know at hereandnow.org, where you can also read an excerpt of Eddie Huang's memoir, Fresh Off the Boat. Terrific. Latest news is next, Here and Now.